Well, good morning and welcome to Worship Online at El Fedor Church for this Sunday, August the 7th. It is a communion service, so I encourage you to have the elements ready so that you can celebrate with us a little bit later on. We are glad that you are here, wherever you may be. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, the Tsuut'ina, the Stoney Nakoda Nations, the Métis Nation, Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Alberta. We also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. And together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. We've been talking this summer in our church about creation calling, God calling to us through His creation. And today's theme is water, and I'm sure you'll figure that out pretty quickly. Our call to worship. In Christ, the God of heaven has made His home on earth. Christ dwells among us and is one with us. Highest of all creation, He lives among the least. He journeys with the rejected and welcomes the weary. Come now, all who thirst, and drink the water of life. Come now, all who hunger, and be filled with good things. Come now, all who seek, and be warmed by the fire of love. Come now, all, and worship our triune God. Let us pray. And we do come. We come to worship You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank You for the gift of creation and for the wonderful gift of being Your children. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise, we pray. Amen. Our first scripture this morning comes from Psalm 42, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Psalm 42, starting at verse 1. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for You, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is Your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are You downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember You from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of Your waterfalls. All Your waves and breakers have swept over me. By the day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have You forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is Your God? Why, my soul, are You downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us spend a little bit of time in prayer together. We're going to pray for forgiveness for things, but then also a few other things as well. So let's pray together. God of creation, God of living water, You call us to come and drink. So why do we sit here and complain that there is not enough water? You call us to strike the rocks of our world and let Your living water flow, but we do not trust enough that the spring is there. We want to find the water on our own, using our own wisdom. You call us to share the water of life with the world around us, but we believe that that water is limited, not abundant, and so we are tempted to save it for ourselves. For all the times we turn away from Your water, for all the times we sully the water by misusing it, for all the times we let others go thirsty instead of offering a drink. Forgive us, we pray. The water of life flows with abundance to fill us with hope, to cleanse us from our guilt, to float us to a new life. Washed in the living water, we are forgiven and set free to live abundant life. Thanks be to God. We continue in prayer. Holy God, fount of every blessing, we come to you this morning opening our parched places to receive the springs of living water you offer to us. Most of the time, most of us don't even know we are thirsty. We don't know the deep dehydration that scours our bones and parches our heart. Sometimes, when our thirst tanks emerge, we draw from the enticing wells of the world's offering of power and profit, which leave us even more empty. Still, God, still us, so that we might listen to you speaking to us, knowing us, seeing us, and filling us. Fill us with your living water that will transform our spirits and souls into springs that burst forth with life and love for your people, for ourselves, and for our world. And we think of your people, those that are suffering illness, those that are grieving, those that are suffering from unrest and war throughout the world. We pray that your peace will rain down on this needy, needy world of ours. Our hearts are heavy, and so we lift all of our concerns to you, knowing that we can cast all our cares on you. And so we do. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you freely in prayer. God of living water, hear our prayer. Quench our thirst and help us to shower your love on all that we meet. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for those of you who have continued to offer your offerings and bless us as you have been blessed by God this summer, and we are very appreciative of that as well. May God take our glad tithes and glad offerings and multiply them for his use in his kingdom throughout the world. Our New Testament scripture comes from John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. We'll read 1 to 13 in the New International Version. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and he went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, our theme today, water. I actually debated not using this particular theme because even though we could do a whole cottage church summer on water, because there's so many examples of water in so many forms. There's the oceans. God's love is as vast as the oceans. And I love the song Oceans that you'll find in the playlist that accompanies this. There are rivers, and we know that there is a river of life that flows from God. There are streams. Deuteronomy 8:7 says, For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and the hills. There's rain. Deuteronomy 11 is both a blessing and a curse, isn't it? And Psalm 147 says, He, God, covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow in the hills. And, of course, we have to talk about rainbows as well, right? From Genesis 9:16, we know that whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on earth. There are springs, as we just read up in Deuteronomy 8. There are wells. We heard about it in the scripture we just read in John. Jacob's well. And Jesus at Jacob's well. So Jacob's well comes in Genesis 29 and John 4 with Jesus at Jacob's well. There are fountains, aren't there? And I love the fact that fountains are often referred to as wisdom. Proverbs 8 says, I, as in wisdom, was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. And of course, there are storms. Many of you tell me you love a good thunderstorm, and so do I. But we see time and again when storms are mentioned in Scripture, God is in them. Matthew 8, Jesus calms the storm, and that appears in Mark and Luke as well. Jonah is on the ship in the middle of the Mediterranean, and a big storm comes, and they throw him overboard because it's the only way that they're going to survive that big storm. And yet God was in it all. Paul had a similar experience in Acts 27, didn't he? God is always in the midst of the storm with us. What's your favorite story about water and all the different kinds of water I've just mentioned? I love Cottage Church because people share how God has called to them through the various different parts of creation. And there are many times that we talk about how God calls us in the water. I grew up in the Okanagan, in Vernon, and water was totally a part of my life. Not so with my husband, Dennis, who grew up in Calgary and to this day can't really swim. But then we moved to Indonesia, and I loved living on the water and near the ocean. And then we moved to Bolivia, where there was no water nearby in the semi-desert area of Cochabamba, the Cochabamba Valley. About a year into our time there, I was really restless. My soul was just not at rest at all. One day, we went for a drive up to the camp near Cochabamba, and called Los Molinos, which means the mill, and it was actually the former place of a mill. And as we got out of the truck, I could hear water, running water. A large stream or small river, if you want to call it, and then a stream that runs right through the campground. And all of a sudden, my whole soul went, water. That's what I've been missing. My soul panted for water, just like we read. Here in Alberta, most Albertans are very aware of the impact that water can have. If you grew up near a farmer or a farm, you would realize how integral water is to their life. My mother was a farm girl from northern Alberta, and she really remembers how much more at ease her father was when the rains came in June, because they all knew how important the rain was, the water was. We also all know how water can be destructive as well, with the many floods, and floods that happened in recent history keep coming back in our mind. And like all the other topics we've talked about so far, wind and rocks, microcosm, we've already talked about the good and the bad of each of them. We need the rain, but floods can cause havoc. Hurricanes, cyclones, typhoons, tsunamis all bring disaster. And throughout the world, we are all aware of water, good and bad. Our own bodies are made up, 65% of our body is made up of water. And once again, like with our other topics, water is an integral part of creation and the Bible. It's talked about in the first verses of Genesis all the way to the 21st chapter of Revelation. Water covered the whole earth in the beginning, and the Lord says, "I will give water to the thirsty, water of life," in Revelation 21. And once again, God embodies the water. The Holy Spirit came in the wind, and Jesus commanded the wind. Jesus is the living cornerstone, and upon that our church is built. God is our mighty rock. Jesus becomes the living water, Scripture tells us. Moses had multiple experiences with water, didn't he? And the Israelite people, the Red Sea parted. The water came from a big rock to quench their thirst, etc. And when you're wandering in the desert for 40 years, water becomes a crucial thing for your existence. And so the Israelite people were very aware of water. And God promised them that the land flowing with milk and honey would be filled with streams and waters. And when Joshua was leading the people into the promised land, the Jordan River parted, and water was very much a part of their crossing. Gideon's soldiers in Judges chapter 7 lapped the water. I love that picture. First, God lets anybody who's afraid go home. So a few stay, and then they go to drink from the river, and some of them, they must have all been very thirsty. Some of them just put their heads straight down and drank straight from the stream. Others scooped up water with their hands and then drank. It was these men that went with Gideon to fight the battle. And there were only about 10,000, which was a small amount. But God was definitely with them. I've always wondered, you know, I think that just meant that they were alert and aware of their surroundings. And those were the men that Gideon needed and God provided. God also often used the drought as punishment. He would withhold water, rain. Ezekiel is an example of that. And he would use water and rain often in how he dealt with his people. Jesus, there are many examples. Jesus was baptized in water in Matthew 3. And, just like with Jesus, the disciples' life revolved around water. At least four of the disciples, maybe as many as seven, were fishermen. They depended on the water for their livelihood, and it was a serious part of their life. We read about Peter walking on the water in Matthew 14, Jesus walks on the water in Mark 4. And then in Mark 6, where he'd already calmed the water once, he calms it again. Jesus used water in healing sometimes. John 5 talks about the Bethesda pool. When it was stirring, someone had to get in there quick, and the first one in was healed. But a man who had no one to carry him to the pool when it was stirred, Jesus healed using water. Sometimes Jesus healed by spitting onto dirt and creating mud. Again, a little gross, but water. In both the scriptures that we read today, talk about thirsting for God, thirsting for living water. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4, verse 10 says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Have you ever thought about that? Do you ask for living water? Do we? It should be, I think, part of our daily life. Jesus, give me your living water. A daily prayer. I confess I don't pray that. I think I should. It's one of these times when our theme has spoken to me personally and I need to work it through first before I can share it with you. Maybe a good practice would be every time we take a drink of water, that we ask God to fill us with his living water as we drink the physical water. That'd be a good reminder to all of us, wouldn't it? And Jesus continued again in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." How amazing is that? Can you imagine what it would be like if our bodies were filled with the living water of Jesus Christ, but not just the 65% physical water that our bodies are made up of, but 100% of living water that is Jesus? Imagine that. And then when we are not filled, when we are thirsty, not just a physical thirst, but a deep spiritual thirst that turns us back to God, because we know what it's like. And that way, we'll never be thirsty, Jesus says. We will never thirst. And then we become a spring of water welling up within our souls and leading us to eternal life. Water. Water is so much a part of everything in creation, in whatever form. Oceans, rivers, streams, rain, springs, wells, fountains are all an essential part of God's creation. And it is essential to all life, plants and animals and all humans, you and I. Physical water, but even more importantly, spiritual water. Let's pray. Forgive us, Father, for we have not asked for your living water like we should, but we are asking now. Fill us, we pray, with your living water and help us to be so full of your living water that it flows over to all of those who need it, so that they too may never thirst again. For the gift of water, we thank you. Amen. I invite you now to join with me as we celebrate communion together. It's an interesting thought, thinking about water and wine water and communion at the same time. And there are many examples for us, aren't there, of when Jesus was involved with water. I think of when God turned water to wine, Jesus did in one of his first miracles. And I think of how wheat is turned into flour and then made into bread, which represents the body of Christ at communion. Have you ever wondered why it's wine at communion, not water? Well, one of the answers, there's probably more than one, but one of them definitely is safety. In the Bible times, both old and new, water was not always the safest thing to drink. And if you have lived overseas in some of our developing countries, you know that water is not always safe to drink. But guess what? Wine is. I mean, wine does go bad, but the worst that happens is that it turns into vinegar and then it's hard to drink, which actually is a gall that they fed to Jesus when he was on the cross. Wine was safer than water, and Jesus had that in mind for us when he established the Lord's table. The other thing that's interesting is that each of the elements here at the table have undergone a transformation from their original form. Have you ever thought of that? Grapes turned into wine, wheat to flour to bread. You and I transform from sinners to saints, although still sinners, and we confess our sins to God, and we become God's beloved children, and we are being together transformed into the royal priesthood, God's church, Jesus' bride. Everything here at the table has been transformed. What a wonderful thought, isn't it? Scripture says, "For I received from the Lord what shall I also pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and he broke it, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. And so we come. Come, Father God, to this table. And here at this table, you welcome us all. Thank you for the transformation that takes place here, in all that is represented here. Thank you for the gift of your salvation, your living water that fills us up and gives us, leads us to eternal life. Amen. Christ's body, broken for you and for all people everywhere. And be thankful. Amen. We continue in the same way after supper. He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's pray. Water. When they pierced your side, out came water from your broken heart. But out came also your cleansing blood for the salvation of each one of us. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and for our salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. This cup, the symbol of Christ's blood shed for each one of us. And be thankful. Amen. And now, the God who created the waters of the world the Christ of living waters, the Spirit of cleansing waters, be with you now and always. Go, and God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with you. Amen.